Have you heard of NAD+? If not, you're missing out on one of the most exciting breakthroughs in longevity and wellness. NAD+ is a powerful peptide found in every cell of your body. It fuels energy production, supports cellular repair, and plays a key role in slowing the aging process. As we age, NAD+ levels decline, leading to fatigue, brain fog, and sluggish metabolism. That's where Effecty comes in. Effecty's NAD+ therapy helps restore those levels, giving you a natural energy boost, improve focus, and enhance recovery, all with a simple injectable or a nasal spray for anyone wanting to go needle-free. And the best part? It's 100% online. With fast shipping, no hidden fees, and unlimited access to licensed doctors, you can start feeling the benefits in no time. You know, it's all about the wellness and longevity, people. You can start your journey, too, along with Tab and me from the comfort of your own home with Effecty. I really appreciate how user-friendly and informative and transparent the Effecty site is. You know upfront exactly what you are paying for, and everything they offer is backed by rigorous research and testing, ensuring safety and efficiency. Ready to recharge your body? Right now, our listeners get $50 off NAD Plus Longevity Treatments at Effecty.com with code CLINK at checkout. That's EFFECTY.com and use code CLINK for $50 off. No hassles, no memberships, no hidden fees, just real results. Get started today. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Housewives of the True Crime.
Birthday edition. Well, actually, it's already been my birthday because you guys get to listen to this on Monday. My birthday was Friday.
You are taking a week for your birthday this year, though. You're getting a birthday week.
You know what?
You 100%. Are
100%. I'm here for it this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I don't generally do that. And I get embarrassed about it. And I'm like, no, we don't need to do anything. But you know what?
Oh, no, I don't think you ever say we don't need to do anything. I think you normally take a birthday weekend.
Or a day.
But this is a birthday. Well, I feel like if your birthday falls on a weekday, you kind of get you get that following weekend.
For sure. For sure. And since you came out, you know, 6 days before my birthday, we had to celebrate.
Ah, of course.
And so we celebrated going to the Bieber concert. It didn't end up, I mean, that's not why we were going to the Bieber concert, but it just ended up turning into a birthday celebration.
A birthday dinner.
Because you were here, Bieber. Which was so nice.
Yeah, it was so fun. And now I am back to reality. Back to life.
And you guys, she did not turn into a Belieber.
Can't say I did.
Unfortunately.
He's so skinny. He's skinny. He is not an epic dancer.
He's not an epic dancer. You're right about that.
He hardly even like took his sunglasses off.
Don't diss, dude.
I'm just saying, like, if he wanted me to fall in love, I need like a moment.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
It's fine because we don't both need to fall in love with him because I would get really jealous if...
If I was in love with him too?
Yes. So I think I'm fine having it just be all me.
It's okay.
And then my car broke down the day after. I had a lovely experience with Justin Bieber. And dude, let me tell you guys, I have a newish car. It's 1 year old. It has already had a new transmission, which is balls to the walls within the first, you know, 2 months of having the car. And now, whatever happened, the guy sent me a picture. I don't even know what happened to it. He said he's never seen anything like it.
Yeah, dude, you got a lemon.
So I told my husband that I'm not really sure I feel safe driving the car. The brakes, you guys, went out while I was driving.
I love, though, that on the upside, she is like, calls me and says, listen, I found the best Mexican food in Texas.
I totally did.
It's like, there is a silver lining to this story. Ah, tell me about it.
I totally did. The 4 hours I was waiting to get the car on the flatbed to take it to the dealership, I found myself a Rigoberto's in Dallas. If anybody lives in Dallas, this place had the best, like, tacos, carnitas tacos. Get them there. I promise you, you will thank me later.
Oh, nice.
It was like California Mexican food. Even the rice and the beans. It wasn't Tex-Mex. It was fully
good.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, yeah. Good.
We do have the best Mexican food in California.
I like Tex-Mex too, but it's just different.
It's just different. Yeah.
It's just different.
Well, we had the end of softball season. So we wrapped that up. So now I have had my afternoons free. So we've been doing stuff. You know, my kids have those Heely shoes.
Mm-hmm. My kids used to have those.
So I have the same size feet as my children, because if you
didn't
know, I have funky feet. I couldn't do it, dude.
It's so hard.
It's so hard. My kids can't do it either.
Oh, Kyla was really good. The boys weren't as good. It's a process to learn for sure.
Yeah. Well, I can't do it.
They're
going to keep, they need like a little bit of a hill. They can't like start it on their own.
You have to pump it and then you stand kind of like front and back.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm not doing the trust fall on my butt with myself.
I do not.
I don't think
suggest.
So. I'm like everything.
I think you're too old for it. Just a FYI.
Okay. Coming from the lady that just went to the Justin Bieber concert.
I know. Listen, I'm just saying. You are also having a birthday in about 1 week, so.
That's true. True story.
I don't know. Some of those things, I just think if you fall, you're going to break a bone at this point.
Yeah, I don't need that.
I get a bruise for anything. This lady slammed a tennis ball at my leg yesterday, and I have a big old round bruise on it now.
Yeah.
It's not pretty.
Yeah. All my kids are covered in craziness, scabs all over their bodies.
Why?
We're not coordinated. We fall a lot up in here.
Oh my gosh. You're going to get CPS called on you.
Oh my God. We just had a well check at the doctor, you know, and he's like, where'd you get that one? She's like, oh, I fell off the bench. Oh, where'd you get that one? I fell on the carpet at the pizza parlor.
Coordination is not your...
It is not our strong suit.
Okay, so then that's what I mean. Maybe it's not you're too old. You're just too not coordinated.
Coordinated, and I passed those genetics on to the children. Lucky them. Hopefully, they're funny, too.
They are already funny. So I think they definitely have that going for them.
Okay, good.
Thanks. All right, so do you want to get to this week's case?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. All righty. This week's episode is one that actually a lot of listeners have suggested, so many so that I'm not going to name them, but you know who you are if you have suggested this case. I want to thank you all for your suggestions, but I also curse you for making me look into it.
Mm.
Just kidding.
That sounds about right.
I'm kidding, kind of, because I really do like your suggestions, but I really do not like serial killers. They scare me and they are scary. And this one had a child component to it that I actually have to talk about a little bit. So listener discretion here. This case does deal with a child kidnapping and abuse to a child, which I'm not going to go into extreme detail. I will save you from that, but I will discuss it a little bit.
Okay.
So let's get into it. We are headed to Yosemite, which is one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Really is.
I think you would agree.
I would agree.
Yosemite is a national park in the middle of California, home to Half Dome. Millions flock to Yosemite every year for hiking, biking, climbing, camping, like you, Gretchy.
I have camped and stayed at the lodge.
What lodge did you stay at?
I think it's called Tenaya.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not the lodge I'm talking about today.
I thought you were thinking maybe there is that, it's like El Pache or El, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
A fancy lodge. I dream of staying there.
I would like to stay there.
Okay. Let's do it someday.
Someday. And some people just go for the day for like the great outdoors. You know, it's very magical there. So
traffic is balls though. I don't recommend just going for the day.
Oh, remember?
And it's like one road in, one road out.
Yeah. Remember that happened to you? You went on some Memorial weekend or some shit, and then it was bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
Bad. The surrounding area of Yosemite, I will say, is pretty rural. There are those lodges that we're just talking about, and there's some restaurants, but there's no like big town that I know of.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I have stayed at Bass Lake and then gone for the day. And I see a lot of people do that when I used to go to Bass Lake all the time. Mm-hmm. In 1999, taking us way back to when we were, you know, well, I wasn't even 20, but you were 20.
Rocket out to Prince.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a fun New Year's. Remember that?
I do remember that New Year's. Yeah, it was a good one.
Well, right after New Year's in February, there was a mom named Carol Sund and her high school daughter, Julie. They were from Eureka, California. They decided to take a trip to visit some colleges and see Yosemite on their way. They also had with them their foreign exchange student, Silvina Peloso from Argentina. Silvina was not only their exchange student, but she was the daughter of a dear friend of Carol's. Carol actually studied abroad way back when she was in high school, met Silvina's mother, and they stayed super close. And so when it was time for Silvina's daughter to, you know, do an abroad program, she sent her to Carol.
Nice.
The girls were both in high school. Julie was 15 and Silvina was 16. The ladies all flew to San Francisco, and then they rented a car from there, a red, like, Pontiac.
Okay.
Fun little car to drive around Central California, and they headed into Yosemite. On February 15th, the ladies went on a hike and then hunkered down at a little hotel called Cedar Lodge. You know that
one? Okay. No, but I can imagine.
It looks, by the pictures of it, like every other lodge that you drive by.
Yeah, there's a bunch of little spots to stay right outside the park.
Yes. And they're all kind of like brown, woody type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what this one looked like. They went and got some movies from the front desk and went back to their room. The next morning, the ladies were gone and the room looked like they had showered, threw their towels down, and dropped their key on the floor and left. They never checked out at the front desk, but I rarely do either, so I don't think that's a big deal.
No.
When the ladies were set to get on their plane to come home, they never showed. When Carol's husband, Jens, came to pick them up and they were not there, he, of course, became alarmed. He tried calling their cell phone, but could not get a hold of them. And then he called the rental car company and learned that the ladies never returned their car.
They had a cell phone in 1999?
Yeah, I had a cell phone in 1999.
I can't remember.
That's when I got
mine.
I
must have. Okay.
And I did read that actually Carol and all of her kids had cell phones by, I think, 1999, or like her most of her family did.
That's when having a cell phone was super dangerous, because it was like, if you went over your minutes.
Yes.
I mean, there was no like unlimited plan.
No. And I don't think
you
people.
You were effed.
I don't think people really used their cell phone at all. You know, it was like in their car for emergency purposes kind of thing.
Yeah.
There was definitely not text message, I don't think, at that point yet.
No, I don't think so.
Soon after, it was like the dut, 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 you like have to push like three numbers. I got really good at learning how to push numbers and which numbers were which letters and all that.
Yeah.
So he also called and he noticed that they did not get on their plane. So right away, people were on the lookout for these three. They thought that possibly they went for another hike and got lost, but there was no sign of them or their car anywhere near Yosemite. Carol was also super responsible, so it was very unlike her to just take a detour without telling anybody and miss a plane. So the search teams were in full force for weeks. They had extra search because it was a national park. I think you get like some extra services.
Okay.
But nothing was giving them any sort of clues until a wallet, which had Carol's credit cards and ID in it, was found 150 miles away in a town that we are very familiar with called Modesto.
Oh, hi, Scott Peterson.
Home to Lacey and Scott Peterson, if you guys, that rings a bell to you. The wallet wasn't found until late February. And at this time, once they found the wallet and it was 150 miles away, they were thinking there's some major foul play here. And they moved all their efforts actually to Modesto. They searched all routes leading from Yosemite to Modesto, looking primarily now for the rental car or any sign of a body, as they suspected murder.
Mm-hmm.
Carol's family, they were trying not to suspect murder. You know, they
of
just
course.
Wanted their family home. So they went on Good Morning America, pleading for the girls to return. Carol had three other kids besides Julie. And all of them were optimistic, hoping their mom and sister would walk through the door any minute. And poor Silvina's family, can you imagine? Like, they're in a different country. They're trying to figure out what the hell happened to their daughter. It's got to be devastating.
Oh, yeah.
And then on March 18th, so we're talking a month later, a hiker in a different forest in California called Stanislaus Forest. Do you know this name, Stanislaus?
No.
Me neither.
Can't say I do.
So he stumbled upon a torched red car. And when he called authorities, they came to see the vehicle. And sure enough, it was a rental car. It was the rental car of Carol Sund. Inside the trunk of the car was two burned bodies. And scratched on to the hood of the car read, "We have Sarah."
Oh, damn.
So also, hey, if you were hiking and you saw a burnt car, would you call the police?
Now I will.
Now I will too, but I do not think I would. I don't know why.
We have Sarah, if I saw that, Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's scary. Yeah, that's scary.
Listen,
stuff.
No hiking. Oh, by the way, you guys, Tab made me hike when I went out to visit her.
I did.
Can you believe that?
I did.
She was like, let's go out and then let's get up early morning and hike.
I did do that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We went out in Fort Worth and then
burned off that tequila.
We burned off all the tequila because we had another full night ahead of us. So you got to get out and get some fresh air and get those, you know, calories off from the night before. And the night before, you know, I really binged after we came home. I binged eating.
Yeah. Yeah. Because this is how Tab does keto, you guys. She doesn't eat bread.
That's right.
She eats french fries.
But then, but the problem is...
After she's done with her sandwich with no meat.
That's only after I have like a few cocktails and then I say, oh, F it.
Yeah.
F it all.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Okay.
Okay. So the bodies in the trunk after dental records were explored were that of Sylvina and Carol. But where was Julie? The FBI actually got a clue when a letter came in the mail with a map and a note, and it said, "We had fun with this one." And on March 25th, they found Julie's decomposing body dumped by Lake Pedro.
I thought Julie you said her name was Sarah.
There is, well, I'll get to that in a minute. But
okay, it just said that, but I'm not confused that
yes,
her name
it
is Julie.
Said the Sarah, but is, her okay. name is Julie.
Okay.
Right. Julie had been sexually assaulted and her throat had been slashed. The three women had been murdered and investigators were on to who the culprits could be. There were a group of men, they were vagabonds and meth addicts that actually had like sexual assault charges prior in Modesto. You know, there's like a bad part of Modesto.
Yeah.
So they bring in these guys and... First of all, they were sure it was a multi-person crime just by where each of them were found. Also, it said, "We have Sarah." Also, the note said, "We." So they were like, this is not just one person. So they bring in these men and one of them actually confessed to the murder.
Okay.
So the FBI was pretty certain that they had their guys. They put out a note saying, you know, we're pretty certain we have them. So everybody kind of, I think, relaxed at this point. And it's not too far after the girls went missing. Well, that is until July 21st of that same year, another woman went missing. This time, a 26-year-old free spirit named Joey Armstrong. Joey grew up in Orlando and became an environmentalist after high school. She was an educator who lived right outside Yosemite in these like cabin-like houses. She was getting her car all packed up to go on a trip to see a friend, but never made it. Seems as if someone took her straight from her house, as her door was still ajar and her car was all packed up. When they found it, Joey was actually found very soon after her friends told authorities that she was missing. She was found very close to her home in a stream where her body was damaged severely and her head was decapitated. She had been sexually abused as well. And this time the killer left more of a trail. There were footprints and tire tracks, and these tires were pretty distinct. So FBI then decides that maybe the guys that confessed to the last killings weren't actually the right guys. That guy in jail, although he said he did kill those women, he was a meth head and he didn't actually have all the facts straight. So I think he like falsely confessed, Gretchy.
Well, I think that happens a lot.
I think it might too. So the FBI went back to the Cedar Lodge where the first victims were staying and went to question the worker there. There was one worker that actually was arrested that same day that Joey went missing on marijuana charges, which was sus. They had originally questioned everybody at Cedar Lodge, the manager, cleaning staff, and the handyman named Kerry Stainer. And that is the same guy that was arrested that day on marijuana charges. No one had a criminal record except for him, but his criminal record was having possession of marijuana, which is not even illegal anymore.
Right.
So when they questioned him at first, it seemed like was nobody at that hotel. In their initial interview and investigation, the handyman was actually quite handy. He showed them around, opening doors for them assisting them with their investigation. He also had told them how his brother was kidnapped back in the 70s. And he was a real nice guy. He actually lived at the lodge, so he pretty much knew everything that was going on around there. But when they returned the second time around, Carrie actually seemed to have packed up and left without anyone knowing. And this looks real suspicious.
Yeah, it does.
So they released a be on the lookout for Carrie Stainer alert. And lo and behold, someone at a nudist colony in Laguna del Sol saw Carrie and called the FBI.
Okay.
Do you know Laguna del Sol?
I don't. You know, I'm just not familiar with as many nudist colonies as I should be.
I didn't actually know that they really existed.
Yeah, there's that beach, Bates Beach, where we lived, where there was a nudie beach.
That's true. That's true. Sorry. I do remember actually seeing nude people there, but it was a nude beach. I don't know.
No, I have no desire to see. I don't even like to see myself naked.
I know. That's the
thing. I don't want to see anyone else naked.
Well, Carrie actually had a thing for sunbathing in the nude. By the way, I just read on Daily Mail that men should be sunbathing their balls every day because it helps testosterone. I'm not shitting you. Like, I just read this like last week.
I don't think my husband needs any more testosterone, and he needs to keep those things shaded. Maybe he needs to put ice on them, actually.
Oh, my God. Well, maybe Carrie did not need to be tanning his balls either.
Okay.
The investigators showed up to this nudist colony, which I am sure was the talk of the department on who gets to go in first. Mm-hmm. And they bring in Carrie for additional questioning. And it didn't take long. From what the detective says is he pretty much buddied up to him on the car ride. Carrie asked the detective if he knew who his brother Stephen was and told him all about Stephen, which I'm going to get to in a minute, all about Stephen. He questioned the detectives on the kidnapper of his brother and asked him if he thought that the kidnapper's 7-year sentence was enough and if it was just. And of course, the officer said no, which is true.
Right. Of course. 7 years for kidnapping? That's bananas.
Yeah, I know. Kidnapping 2 people.
Yeah.
He then went into the station where he stated that the meal he was eating at the time would be his last meal as a free man. And then the detective asked him to tell him what he meant. Carrie then asks for some child porn in return for closure. They say, "What type of closure are you talking about?" He says, "For all this stuff that's happening with these girls." Well, they get to him to talk a little bit more without giving him child porn, of course. And he proceeds to talk about Joey. The detectives listen with what the detective said is non-judgment. He kind of says, "Listen, I didn't want to judge him because I didn't want him to feel any which way. So he would just keep talking."
Yeah.
And he would be comfortable to get it all out. So they eventually told him, "You're not getting any child pornography." But they also say, "You know, it seems like you're getting this off your chest and it's really relieving for you. So maybe you should just tell us everything." Carrie was pretty emotional and he ultimately confessed to killing all 4 women. At first, he claimed to not sexually assault them, had not sexually assaulted them, but we all know that's a lie.
Right.
He also asked to talk to a producer to make a mini series out of his acts, just like they made a mini series out of his brother's life. Carrie confessed to the detectives and he said the day before the night of the murders of Carol, Julie, and Savina, which would have been Valentine's Day, February 14th.
Right.
Carrie had actually planned on murdering his then girlfriend and her 2 kids.
Oh, my God.
They luckily were saved by having people show up at their house unexpectedly, so Carrie didn't have a chance to do it. And so when Carrie went back to the lodge, which is where he lived, he saw Carol and the two girls through their window and noticed that there was no man with them. So on the night of February 15th, Carrie knocked on the door to Carol's room. He stated he was the handyman and he was there to fix a leak that was coming from upstairs into their bathroom. Carol at first says, nope, sorry, you know, there's no leak, and doesn't want to let him in. Carrie then states, well, then I'm going to have to go get the manager because we need to fix this. And Carol finally says, fine, come in, fix the leak, whatever, right? Once he's inside, he's carrying what looks to be a tool bag, but that would end up being his like murder kit. And goes into the bathroom. He comes out and with a gun, and he says he needs their help. He takes Carol into the bathroom where he strangles her. He comes out and sexually abuses the girls until he says he can't stand Sylvina's cries any longer. And he takes her into the bathroom where he kills her. He then puts the two women in the trunk of the car. At this point, I think he takes Julie to a different room, so she doesn't see that her mom and her friend are dead. Ugh. He then puts Julie into his car where he drives over an hour and a half. And at this point, Julie is trying to stay super calm and make small talk with him. And she says her name is Sarah.
Oh.
That's where the Sarah comes in.
Okay.
He then takes her near a lake and sexually tortures her for hours before he tells her that he loves her and slits her throat.
Why are some tasks just so much harder than others? For me, I love cleaning out my clothes closet, but cleaning out my kitchen cabinets, forget about it. Seriously, it's scary back there in the deep, dark corners of cabinet land. And so it's daunting for me to even start to take on that task. Creating a will or trust can also be a daunting task to take on, one where you aren't sure where to begin or who to ask for help. But it doesn't have to be with trustandwill.com. The website is super user-friendly. Their simple step-by-step process guides you from start to finish, one question at a time. When maneuvering through the process, if you have a question that stops you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. You know, it's just so important to save your loved ones time and stress by having all your documents in one place with bank-level encryption. I love having the confidence that comes with the peace of mind knowing that my family is protected. Stand up and protect what matters most to you in minutes with Trust and Will. Go to trustandwill.com/housewives and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/housewives. Do you have a child that is struggling with a topic at school? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Maybe your child is like mine and has a hard time asking for help in class. And when I try to help after school, it can take forever trying to get to the point of the concept she's just not grasping so she can move on. IXL is a huge help with this because of the way it's designed. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. And research shows kids that use IXL score higher on tests and improve their grades. It will work for any of your kids because it's powered by advanced algorithms, so IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter their age or personality. And with one subscription, you get everything. One site for all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. And it's such a super value. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and Housewives of True Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Which is so effing sick.
Oh no, this is demonic.
Like, I can't even believe people are like this. So once he kills them, he lies low for a bit until he runs into Joey after sunbathing his balls. And Joey is an amazing woman. She is like, I'm not taking this monster. She fights with all of her might. he ties her up in her room and then gets her into his car, which, dude, the girl only is able to walk. She has like her hands are tied behind her. She somehow flings herself out of his car while it's moving and runs down the street. And he stops and she just is too immobile to get away from him. And unfortunately, it's so rural there. It's like there's nobody driving by. So
yeah,
it's not a holiday weekend, Gretchen, at this point. And so he takes her. This is why he didn't take her very far. And he assaults her and he cuts her throat so aggressively that it decapitates her.
My God.
He took all the investigators to all the spots. He showed them everything. He showed them where he tied them up. He showed them where he threw his duct tape. He showed them everything that he did. And at the end of the day, he tried to plead not guilty by reason of insanity. Mm. And I will tell you, I think that Kerry Stainer had many demons in his head. And I am going to tell you a little bit about him and possibly what could have contributed to his demons and his urge to kill. But although I will say that I think he's insane, I don't think that he's so insane he didn't know that what he was doing was wrong, you know?
Yeah, well, I have a thought. And I'm sure you'll get into something like this, but that whole thing about the producer and he had this brother who was kidnapped.
Uh-huh.
That is like, so was he jelly belly that his brother got attention for being kidnapped and he was finding some way to get attention too?
I will tell you, yes, he was jealous. I'm going to get into that a little bit. And yes, that part of it is like, you want a movie made out of me? Like, yes, I think there was partly that. I think I'm going to tell you in a minute, but I think that his thinking about murder stemmed way before even his brother was kidnapped.
Okay. So, my other thought is, you know, when I'm traveling, I do travel with my children without my husband. And I don't like to stay in those hotels that have the doors on the outside.
Oh, I don't either. I know. That's like that
and
hotel.
I think we all that are, you know, if you're not traveling with another adult, you know, whatever, then stay with the doors on the inside. Much safer.
I will tell you, when he said that he was looked and there was no husband in there, that scared me.
Yeah.
That does scare me because I was thinking about all the times that I go on vacation without my husband.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
We're always like driving on I-40 or, you know, something and you never know who's like watching you. Yeah. And there's just a bunch of drive where there's a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah. It's true. So let me tell you a little bit about Kerry Stainer. He was the oldest of five kids. One younger brother, Stephen, and three younger sisters. When Kerry was very young, he was diagnosed with a mental disorder called, and I'm going to try to say this right, but you guys, this is a crazy name, trichotillomania. You ever heard of that?
I know there's a trickle something where you pull your hair out.
That's it.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. So Kerry would pull his hair out on his head so severely that it would put bald spots in his hair. Mm-hmm. This disorder is usually super long lasting. People do it because it relieves stress. Mm-hmm. They said that he was diagnosed when he was 3, which is real young to be doing something like this. It's usually more in your adolescence into your teens.
Yeah, I knew someone who had this.
I did too, actually. Mm-hmm. I did too. And do you think the person that had it had some trauma in their life, or why do you think they had it?
Yeah, I know she did. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
So it gives stress relief. That's why they do it, right? So I'm not sure what could have caused Carrie to have this problem at such a year early age. And I'm suspicious that something could have happened to him, possibly sexually, to cause it.
Yeah.
There is nothing that I read that said anything sexually happened to him at three, but later it did. So when Carrie was a little older, we do know that he was sexually assaulted by an uncle in the family. So my suspicion is that the uncle started when he was little.
Very young.
Yes. Yeah.
Awful.
And that Carrie himself doesn't even realize that it was that young.
Yeah.
When Carrie was 11, his brother, who was 7, named Stephen, was abducted by a pedophile named Kenneth Parnell. This story is pretty well known, so a lot of you probably know it. But for those of you that don't, Stephen was walking home one day when two men pulled up and confronted him. One said that he was a reverend and needed help with some charity and asked if Stephen's parents would be willing to help this man's charity. Stephen said, yeah, I think so. You know, my parents like to help people. And so he said, okay, I'll take you to your house. Well, Stephen said, no, I'll walk. It's just right there. The guy said, no, I'll take you. I want to talk to your parents. And Stephen, thinking this guy's a pastor of a church, gets in the car.
Yeah, pastors are never creepy.
Right. Never.
Never.
The man then drove Stephen to his house instead of Stephen's house, where he kept him for over 7 years. While Stephen was missing, the Stainer family, you can imagine, was overly distraught. And Carrie often felt like his dad blamed him for the loss of Stephen.
Yeah.
I think his family was so overwhelmed with Stephen's loss. And I can only imagine having a missing person is almost worse than having
a dead child.
A dead person.
For sure. There's no really, yeah, it's torture.
It's torture.
How do you go on with anything?
I think it's very hard.
Yeah.
I think it's very hard. And I think it was very hard on their family. And I think Stephen, as the oldest child, took a brunt of it. At the same time, his uncle started abusing him.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie also admits that he had repeated thoughts of murdering women for years by the time he was 11. He says he thinks it started around the time he was 7. So well before Stephen went missing.
Wow.
The nice part about Carrie, I guess, is that while Stephen was missing, Carrie every night would go outside and look at a star and wish upon it that his brother Stephen would return home. And after 7 years, one day, Stephen did return home. It was an absolute miracle. And I mean, the world knew about it. And this is how it happened. When Stephen was 14, he was becoming less desirable to Kenneth, who is a sick fuck of all sick fucks. And so Kenneth got one of Stephen's friends to help him capture a 5-year-old boy. When this 5-year-old boy came into the house, Stephen knew what he was in for and felt like he needed to save this little boy. So Stephen, at this point, Stephen had been with Kenneth for 7 years. Kenneth had brainwashed him into believing that his family gave him up. Once he took Stephen to his house, he said, oh, actually, your dad told me to pick you up because they can't keep you any longer. And we're going to call you Dennis. At some point, he told Stephen that his father had died and his mother moved away. So Stephen thought he really had no choice for those 7 years but to just go along with Kenneth's sick plan. But as soon as he knew that Timothy White, the 5-year-old, was going to be abused and hurt, Stephen snuck out with Timothy one night and took him to a police station. Once there, he sent Timothy in And he was just going to hide. He just wanted Timothy to be found. But Timothy got all nervous because he's a 5-year-old child in the middle of the night trying to escape. And they ended up finding both boys. When they found Stephen, he has this famous line that they wrote a book about in a movie. And he says, "I know my first name is Stephen," to the officer. He then says, "I think my last name is Stainer." And sure enough, when they looked him up, he was the missing kid. So Stephen saves Timothy and is considered a hero.
Right. Like,
the national news picked up on it. I mean, Stephen's story was everywhere. It got a ton of attention. It was a miracle. He was on shows. I mean, they have a book written about it. They have a movie. And while Carrie was super happy to have his brother home, I think you can imagine that a dynamic is so different than when he left, right?
Right.
He left at 7. He comes back at 14.
Yeah.
But he comes back as a 14-year-old acting like a 20-year-old because he lived with this guy, Kenneth, who let him smoke and drink. And he had a very bizarre, unstructured, abusive situation for the last 7 years.
Right.
So it most likely wasn't like anything Carrie ever dreamt of. You know, when you think somebody is going to come back and your brother is going to be like this and we're going to bond and whatever, like his fantasies of that have to be destroyed because it's just not like that.
Right.
Carrie ended up moving to his uncle's house, which I think is the same uncle that abused him. A few people claim it was. I mean, I don't have concrete proof, but I'm pretty sure it was. The uncle ended up getting murdered while Carrie was living there. It was determined that it was a robbery gone wrong.
I can't help but think that could have been some karma.
Yeah, it could have been. Mm-hmm. There's no, we don't really know a lot about that. And I don't know how that affected Carrie either. Like, if it was really a murder that somebody came into your house and murdered your uncle, was it like, good riddance, you slimy fuck? Or was it like, I still love my uncle in this weird, twisted way?
I don't know. I mean, in an adolescent mind, it could be like that. I would hope it's good riddance, slimy fuck.
He was 19 at the time, right? Because he's now, when Stephen comes back into his life, he's 18.
Okay.
So he's old. I mean, not old, but, you know, he was 11 when he left. Now he's 18. Stephen's 14. I mean, it's an effed up situation.
Yeah.
So Carrie did hold down some jobs and he did art, which everybody says was really amazing. He never really dated too much. He kept to himself. He was a very good looking guy, Gretchy. Besides his hair problem, his hair picking, you know, he wore a hat all the time to cover that. When Carrie went on his murdering spree, he was 37, and I'm telling you, he looks like a guy that you would date. He was tall and handsome. Looks kind of like Jeremiah.
Thanks for that.
Which I'm not telling you that Jeremiah looks like a serial killer, but the fact that he looks like that is like real scary to me.
Yeah. Like you would open the door for that handyman.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would.
We know you would. You'd probably give them your credit card and put gas in their car.
I would probably also do that and buy him some clothes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yes. He did say at his trial, he said, "I wish I could take it back, but I can't." He said, "I wish I could tell you why I did such a thing, but I don't even know myself. I'm so sorry. I wish there was a reason, but there isn't. It's senseless." When he was evaluated for the court, because they tried to plead the insanity plea, he, you know, they didn't go for it. They did say that he had obsessive compulsive disorder, mild autism, and paraphilia, which is like sexual arousal by odd things, something like that. But they found him sane enough to know what he was doing. So I think that, honestly, I think he wanted to get caught, because I think like sending that note and doing some of the weird things that he did.
Well, he did it at his own job.
He did it at his own job. Like I think he wanted to get caught. Don't think he wanted the death penalty, which is what he ended up getting. And until recently, he was sitting with Scott Peterson in San Quentin.
No way.
Yep. But I mean, Carrie is still in San Quentin on death row. Scott Peterson is not any longer, right?
He's not on death row anymore. Yeah.
He will never get put to death, this guy, because it's California.
Yeah.
He's 60 years old right now. And so I assume that he'll be there for a lot more years.
Yeah.
And then back to Stephen real quick. Kenneth Parnell, like I told you before, he got sentenced to only 7 years and he served less than 5. I think it was...
No way.
Yes. Yes way. It is so awful and horrific that the guy did not serve hardly any time. Okay, so Stephen was reluctant to talk about his sexual abuse. As you can imagine, a 14-year-old boy being asked to express all these details was not something that he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Especially being like world famous now, right? It's like... very awkward situation.
Yeah.
He was very embarrassed to tell his father. He had to get up on the stand. And I think when he got up on the stand, he didn't come off very believable. And they tried to get a statute of limitations on his trial. It was just totally fucked, the whole thing. And so the guy only got 7 years.
That's so crazy.
They let him out of prison. And Stephen, he got teased a lot at school. He was called faggot. And he ended up turning to drugs and alcohol, I'm sure, to cope with even more abuse from stupid kids.
Oh, fucking kids are such assholes.
I know.
That's awful.
Awful. So by his mid-20s, Stephen did have 2 kids and was married, but he got into a motorcycle accident and died at the age of 24.
Wow.
Which is such a tragic life. Like,
yeah,
this is where I just, part of me wonders if, I don't know, this is really deep, but if we have some sort of like reincarnation where it's like, you got really effed last time. Let me put you in a better situation this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
I really hope so, because just, I hate that, you know, and I hate when kids get abused and then, I don't know, like everything that I read, I'm just like, I hope that there's something more out there that go to heaven and have the best time.
Yeah.
As for Kenneth, he got out of prison, and you'll never guess what this sick fuck did. He tried to buy a 4-year-old boy for $500. And thank God the lady that he tried to get to help him buy this child went to the police, and they set up a sting, and he went back to prison where he died in 2008.
Excellent.
But he should have been in prison for like...
the whole time. The whole time, yeah.
And Timothy White, the little boy that was held captive, I think he only got held captive for 2 weeks, which is still a freaking long time.
Oh, that will traumatize you for... yeah,
forever.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. He ended up dying from pulmonary embolism at the age of 35. And he worked as a L.A. sheriff at the time, and he had a wife and 2 kids. I mean, the story is so tragic.
Yeah.
All of it.
It's like the butterfly effect.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the story of Carrie Stainer, the only one that's survived. But the poor Stainer family also, I mean.
Yeah.
Bunch of shit.
I hope they moved out of the area and got a little peace.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I didn't look them up. It was so, that case to me was so dark. It just was like, get me over it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give you one next week that is less dark.
Okay. Is it the one you were telling my kids about?
Yes.
Okay. It is definitely less dark if Gretchen's able to tell my children. Thankfully, she did have a case to tell them because after my last one with the teachers, they really want to know what my next one was. And it was this one. And I was like, there is no way in hell I'm telling them anything about this case.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
So that's a whoop-a-doo. Let me tell you guys, I want to thank you all for joining our Patreon. Lots of you have joined lately, and we truly appreciate it. If you guys want more of us, go to patreon.com/housewives of true crime, and you get an extra bonus episode on Thursdays, and then one bonus crime a month where Gretchen tells you some juice. Also, we talk more personal on that page if you want to know, you know, what's going on in our lives, I guess.
We spill the tea.
We spill the tea. And if you don't mind, please rate and review us. We really need it. This, you know, the algorithm and all that shit. You guys know how that works. Also, follow us on Housewives of True Crime group on Facebook. We also have like a dieting fun, tell us what you're eating these days group. If you can find that. I don't remember what it's called at the top of my head right now. And
Housewives on Crack, I mean keto. Oh, yeah. Or whatever is working,
whatever
for
works for you.
You
and what else, we have a Instagram. Mm-hmm. We do have a TikTok, but I'm not very good at it.
No, she is not.
But I'm doing much better on Instagram. I'm really trying to make us like
stepping it up.
And I think that's all until Thursday for our bonus and next Monday for your more lively crime from Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So clink, clink, guys.
Clink, clink.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.